Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another breathtaking episode of Voiceovers on Demand. My name is Terry Daniels, speaking to you from the gloomy and surprisingly cool Minneapolis. And Trish Bassani is somewhere on the East Coast. I'm not really sure where it is. Trish, maybe you could explain that just for a moment.
I'm still in New Jersey, and it's gloomy and cold here, too. We actually had a taste of spring last week. It was about 80, 85 degrees. It was gorgeous and sunny, and everybody was outside, and this tree started blooming, and now it's about 50 again, I think. So.
Yeah, that's kind of the trend in Minneapolis. You know, it'll be 85 one day, and then we'll be shoveling snow the next. It's a beautiful thing as I get into my 40s slowly here. My tolerance for Minneapolis winters has just declined to nothing. So I think I might move out this afternoon.
All right, then.
All right. Well, we're privileged to have a couple of guests on our program today. James Allberger and Penny Abshire, the king and queen of the voiceover industry. And you guys, I hope I'm not kissing your asses too much.
No, you could actually go a little further if you wish.
Well, James is the author of The Art of Voice Acting, a very popular voiceover novel, and Penny is the author of Demo and Marketing Magic for Voice Actors, as well as they are both the executive producers of the upcoming Voice 2008 to take place in August in Los Angeles. So we'll get started. Thank you both for coming on. I know that we've been trying to get you on for months, and we have you here, and it's a delight, and I think it'll be a hell of a party.
Well, it's our pleasure. We're really looking forward to it. We have been a little bit busy the last couple of months, though.
Since we are talking about Voice 2008, how did the idea for Voice International get started?
Well, it actually goes back to about 2002 when Penny and I were just having a conversation one day, and she was commenting on how fragmented and detached the voiceover community seemed to be. The prevalence of home studios was really growing, and the demand for having to do the voice work in isolation seemed to be really presenting a problem, because there was no community. There was no way to connect with our fellow voice actors. So Penny was saying that, well, there really should be something that we can do to bring actors together. Every other industry has some kind of a convention or a conference or some way of bringing people together. And there was nothing like that in the voiceover world, except for some discussion boards. And that was it. So, aside from some of the individual workshops around the country. So that's where the idea started. And then in 2006, we got the idea of doing a workshop in Las Vegas. And in 2006, one of our students connected us up with Frank Frederick, who was also planning a workshop in Las Vegas. And we called Frank, we collaborated, and that was when we really started to organize the very first VoiceOver International Creative Experience, or VOICE, which we did in March of 2007 in Las Vegas. And we finished that one. Our agreement with Frank kind of ended at the end of 2007, and we started looking at where we could go next. What would we do? Was there going to be another conference? Was there going to be more of this? What else could we do to continue bringing the community together? And about a year ago, we started putting the ideas together for what's now coming together as Voice 2008. And it's been a long journey. It's been a complicated journey. There are a whole lot of more things going into this conference than went into the Las Vegas event. And we're having a blast putting it together.
Well, and I might mention, too, for Voice 2007, we got the idea, all three of us at that time, in October, I think it was.
Late
October, that we'd put together. We felt kind of like the R Gang comedies, you know, where they all get together and say, oh, let's do a show. We can use my barn. You know, it was kind of that feeling of, gosh, this would just be really fun. Let's make it work. So we went into it kind of with that wide-eyed innocence. And it came together so incredibly beautifully. Just better than we could ever have imagined. And now we've had a lot more time to plan, so this is a much bigger event. But just briefly about 2007, the synergy that was there when all these people who had spoken, maybe they'd spoken on the discussion boards, they might have had a telephone conversation, but they all got together in one room. And I tell you, James and I walked in there and you could feel the electricity just popping. It was amazing experience to look at these faces, and they were so grateful that now, instead of being in their little studio in Scottsbluff, Nebraska, trying to do their voiceover work and never having contact with anybody else to bounce ideas off from, to learn new things from, now they're in a room just full of people who all have the passion for voiceover that they do, who have the same kinds of problems, the same kinds of challenges, and can offer solutions. It was amazing is the best word.
It was.
And we had people after the event, or close to the end of the event, that I had two or three that came up to me, men and women, with tears in their eyes, saying, we don't want to go home. This has been such a great experience for us to be able to connect with our fellow voice actors, to not feel like we're the crazy one, you know, that we have to explain to our family what it is that we do and why we do it. Because now we're with our peeps. We're with people we don't have to explain it. They already understand.
Right. And as far as, you know, I want to let you guys know that I do weep every time I have to leave Vegas as well. and they weep when I leave because they're losing revenue the second I get on the plane.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly. It was the kind of experience that when people came, they went back with it and just they've been talking about it for the last 18 months now. When are we going to do another one? When are we going to do another one? It's so that little play that we decided to put on in the barn worked out pretty well. And now we have a much bigger barn and a much bigger show, and maybe we can tell you a little bit more about that.
Yeah, we'll definitely, we'll get to that. But I actually have a question for you guys. For James specifically. Your book, The Art of Voice Acting, of course, is one of the most critically acclaimed books in our industry. Actually, it's coincidentally the first book I ever bought on voiceovers when I first got started almost 10 years ago. And for those of our listeners that are actually brand new to the business, can you tell us what to expect from your book?
Oh, of course. Well, let me just give you a little background on the book itself. My history in voiceover is primarily as a producer and director from television. And for about 25 years, I was working with voiceover talent as the talent director, as a sound designer and producer for television promos. So I worked with a ton of voiceover talent, commercials, promos, long-form narrations, all kinds of stuff, but within the context of the TV station primarily. And around the middle, late 90s, it was a time when I started feeling like, well, I really need to do something with all this history that I have. And at that time, I decided to start teaching some small voiceover introductory classes. And the notes that I started working for on that class started to take on a life of their own, and that's what ultimately became the book. And it happened that I was... I love going to trade shows, industry trade shows, and there was one up in L.A. one year, and I remember walking through the floor of the trade show, and I came across this large exhibit booth, which was nothing but books. It was a publisher, and I looked at that, and I said, oh, they publish books. I'm writing a book. I need to talk to these people. So wow. I left my card. The publisher, the person I needed to connect with, was off meeting with somebody else. I never connected with them at that time, but the week after that, I got a call from their office in Boston, and they said, yeah, we'd like to talk to you more about what you have in mind. Send us a few sample chapters. We'll take a look and go from there. So I did. Sent them four chapters that I had written in very early first draft stages. They liked what they read, and the company is Focal Press, who at that time was a fairly small trade publisher. And since then, they've been bought out by Reed Elsevier, which is the world's largest publishing house. And so my publisher is now based in London. Thank you very much. So,
wow.
So, yeah, it's been
you
a good
are
thing.
Something, Jim.
It's been a good thing. But the book just grew, took on a life of its own. They gave me a limited number of pages for the first edition, which came out in 98. Then about 4 years later, they called me up and they said, your book has been selling so well, we'd like you to do an updated second edition. I said, okay, can you give me more pages and maybe a CD this time, please? And they did. So I had an increased page count, and that was the first edition where I was able to put in an audio CD that supported what I had in the book. So I have the audio tracks for the commercial scripts that are in the book, as well as some other exercises, some demos, and some other things on the CD. And then in 2002, I did the third edition, which is completely updated. I went through every single page of the book. They gave me 85 more pages, so the thing is like 300 and some odd
pages.
Well,
he's very proud of the fact that it weighs a pound and a half.
Yeah, it weighs a pound and a half. It's a hefty looking book.
Wow.
But I don't know what I can do to update it now, because the majority of the trends have evolved to a point where they're fairly stable now. We've moved from cassettes to digital files primarily, and that's covered in the book. And there are so many things in my book that a lot of the people who comment on it say, I don't know where else to go because everything's here. I don't need to go anyplace else. So and that was one of the reasons I wrote it the way I did, is I wanted it to be the single most comprehensive work on the craft and the business of voiceover. So I cover both aspects of it. And then what Penny has done with her book is she's taken the marketing part on demos that I have in my book. She has taken that and actually expanded on it into other ways of marketing, other ways of working with demos. And so we released her book. It's actually, her book is only available through voiceacting.com, but we came out with that. When was that?
It was at Voice last year.
Last year, the mm-hmm. Voice conference was when that first came out. And she's now working on a revised version of her book.
Because things have changed.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm actually writing a book on how to get out of the voiceover industry. And it's due to come out next month. I wonder if that would sell.
You never can tell. But hey, when you get it written, let me know, and I'll put it up on the voiceacting.com site.
Yeah, exactly. Well, tell us, you two, tell us a couple of stories, or a story, if you will, on how you found and got into the voiceover industry. What was it that you thought was exciting about it, and what made you both want to just dive into it?
Well, I'll go first on that one.
That's real polite, Jim.
Well, no, the reason I want to do that, I want to go first, is because Penny's story is better than mine. And I've already mentioned a little bit about it, because I came from television. And really, the way that I got into voiceover, especially as a coach, is that, as I mentioned, I started teaching some classes in the late 90s. Well, the way that started is I went to what's called a Learning Annex class. It's an adult education introductory kind of class. 3-hour introductory seminars is what they really offered. And I went to that class. I tried going twice, and both times the class was canceled because the instructor never made it to San Diego. So on the third time, a friend of mine from the TV station and I, we've set it up. We go down to the class. It actually happened. And the first thing that the instructor of that class said was, if you want to be successful in voiceover, you have to be in LA and you have to be in the union. And my friend and I just looked at each other and said, why am I here? Because I'm in San Diego for a reason, because I don't want to be in LA. And San Diego is not a strong union market, so there's no point in being in the union. So obviously this instructor did not know the market that she was teaching in. So at the time I had a tenant renting a room from me that was one of the producers, event coordinators for the Learning Annex. And I asked my tenant, what would I need to do if I wanted to teach this class? And I was told the instructions, this is the route you have to go through. So I started working on that. And I decided that if I'm going to get started in this, I'm going to have notes for the class. And that's ultimately where the book started and came from. But it was a month later, I had a phone call from this producer. And I was asked if I would mind being a substitute for the voiceover class, because they had a change in location. The instructor couldn't be located anywhere. So I, of course, said, well, yeah, of course I'll do that. So I went down, did the class. It was on Saturday, June 19th, 1998. And I did the class. And the reason I remember that date is because a couple of reasons. The class went over extremely well. I had 20 people in there and they gave rave reviews, which was nice. But even better than that is after I finished my class, I packed up my car, changed into a tuxedo, went downtown, and picked up 3 Emmy Awards that night. It was a good day.
He has 11.
Wow.
We don't have it. Trish, you and I don't have any stories like that. Let's hang up. We we can't compete with that. We just got nominated for a Voicy Award that we didn't win.
Hey. Still bitter about that, Terry.
I'm sure our listeners are so tired of that one.
Yeah. Well, actually, and then from that point forward, you know, Jim started teaching workshops away from the Learning Annex, you know, independent of that. And in 1997, at that point, I was working as a paralegal at a law office in La Jolla, which, if you've never been there, is an extremely beautiful place. It was a very nice office, great attorneys. You know, it was a good situation. I figured, well, I've just kind of settled in, and this is what I'll be doing the rest of my life. I was 47 at the time. And I thought, you know, I'll just retire here, got good benefits, all that kind of stuff. Well, a friend called me, said, you know, do you want to go take that class at the Learning Annex? It's taught by that Allberger guy, and it's called How to Make Money in Voiceover. You want to go? I said, no, absolutely not. You know, it's just, why would I do that?
Absolutely,
you know,
not.
Why would I waste my time? And he said, oh, come on. It really wouldn't hurt. Let's just go check it out. You know, it'll be kind of fun. He really browbeat me into going. I did not want to go. So we get to the class, and we sit down, and Jim started talking, and he started talking about voiceover and what was involved. Well, I have a theatrical background. I've done a lot of community theater and acting all my life. But I had gotten to that point where I'd forgotten what it was like to play. I'd given up that part of my life and decided that, you know, I'd have structure and stability instead. Ugh. Anyway, but I was at that point. So when I got into this class and he got me up on mic and I got to perform and do voiceover, I thought, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. And I remember driving home thinking, this is what I'm supposed to do. And I remember having this conversation with God that I said, thank you. Now I finally know. I've been asking for 47 years. Now you've finally given me the answer. It was, you know, if it's possible to have an epiphany in that way, I really did. Because I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, that's what I was supposed to be doing. And I look back on that sometimes and think, what if I hadn't gone to that class? Ah, I'd still be typing wills and trusts in a law office, and that gives me the heebie-jeebies. So I don't want to do that anymore. So anyway, I started taking classes from Jim in his 8-week course, and I took one 8-week, and then I took another 8-week, and then I took another 8-week because I didn't want to stop learning. So I think, and I've said this many times, that the only reason that Jim eventually took me on as his partner is because he couldn't get rid of me.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, stop it. That is not true. Yeah. You're supposed to say, oh, no, Penny,
oh, no,
that's
no.
not true.
That's not true, Penny.
Thank you. He never gets his lines right, I tell you.
Do you guys, have you ever gotten into a fist fight?
No. You know, it's interesting you ask that question, though, Terry, because Jim is the first person I have ever worked with in my life that we'll have disagreements on occasion, but they are so rare that they're practically non-existent. We found out we have a real synergy for what we do. He's the kind of person that, you know, finishes my sentences. We had an astrologer tell us one time that we have a very married energy, and yet we're not married. She said, now you're a married couple, right? And I said, no. And she said, but you have a married energy. I said, I'm sorry, but but we're really not. But we have that, which is what I think gives us the ability to really, truly work well together.
Guys, you seem really busy with other aspects, of course, of the business, like Voice International. Do you still have time to do actual voiceovers?
We do. We have a stable of clients that are pretty much our regulars that we do work with. For the moment, what we've actually done is we pretty much put our marketing efforts as voice talent on hold while we're producing the conference, because it's a 24-hour-a-day job putting this thing together.
24/7. Oh, yeah.
I imagine.
Yeah, the amount of time it takes to put this thing together and get it organized and all the minutiae of details is just unbelievable.
It will be worth it. But yeah. It's like I get, because I belong to Voices.com and to Voice123 and several other, I get all these wonderful auditions that come in, and I really can't even do them because I know even if I do the audition and I'm awarded the job, I don't have time to do it. So it really has been a situation where we just kind of have to say, okay, we're doing this for the community. We want it to be a spectacular event, so we're just going to put this over here, and when Voice is over, then I'll start doing auditions again. We have some clients that we're continuing to do work for because they're clients that call us every couple of weeks. So we haven't completely stopped, but we're not doing a lot of new clients.
Well, what I find really interesting, too, about some aspects of your business is how versatile it really is. Share with us the program you both offer for business professionals called We Make You Sound Great. How important today are public speaking abilities and basic personal interaction in today's corporate workplace?
Well, being able to speak in public and to appear professional in front of a group of people and have project the appearance that you know what you're talking about and to have confidence and everything that goes with that is critical. It's more important today than it was 5 years ago in the corporate world. And yet many times a business doesn't realize how important that really is. And they've got their sales force out there doing sales presentations to groups of prospects, and the presentations don't get the kind of results that they want. And they're trying to figure out, well, why is that? How come we're not getting those sales? And a lot of it has to do with the way the presentation is presented, not so much in its structure, but in the way that the presenter is perceived by that audience. So with my background in television, my whole job in TV was to create an image and a sound that went with that image as far as the TV programs and commercials that I was working on. So when I started working in voiceover, it didn't take me very long to realize that the voice, of course, is an incredibly powerful aspect of the communication. But even more than that, the techniques that we use in voice acting translate extremely well into virtually every form of verbal communication, whether it's a telephone message, a live presentation, public speaking, a Toastmasters program, any of these things, the verbal communication skills, the dynamics, the whole presentation. If you apply basic techniques that we teach or you learn in voice acting, and we call them the seven core elements of a performance, you apply those to any other kind of a communication, and it elevates the communication. It takes it to a whole different level, mm-hmm. and it really works. Mm-hmm. I had one of our students is a pilot on one of the harbor cruises here in San Diego, and he took my 3-hour introductory class. He's never even had our whole class, so he doesn't really know all the details of using these techniques. But I introduced my seven core elements in that 3-hour intro class. He took that and changed the way that he does his tours on the harbor, because he not only drives the boat, but he does the narration as well. So I got an email from him about 2 weeks after he took my class, and he said, I just want to thank you because you've completely changed the response and the results I get from my tours. And I said, really? What are you doing? He told me that he's applied the seven core elements into his tour. It's a memorized script, so he knows what he's talking about, but he changed the focus. Mm-hmm. Instead of just reciting the script, he's now talking to somebody. Okay. He's now having a conversation with the individuals that are on the ship as he's driving through the harbor. And he says he's now got people coming up to him just raving about how much they enjoyed his tour.
Because he was talking just to them. They're sure of that.
Yeah. So we know that these work. And we've worked with a number of large corporations on the same thing. And we work with everybody from the front office receptionist, who's probably one of the key people in a business, but most businesses don't realize that. The receptionist is the first contact new customers. That's the first place new customers have to communicate with when they're talking to that company. And if that receptionist doesn't sound professional, doesn't sound like they care about the individual that's calling, it can have a very, very negative effect. And that can result in some bad things for a company. Mm-hmm. So we work everything from that level all the way up to the CEO.
You're listening to VoiceOvers on Demand with Terry and Trish, our special guests, James Allberger and Penny Ebshire.
Last question, actually, that we're going to we promised that we'd get back to Voice 2008. Tell us a little bit more about the lineup and the seminars that are, people can take part in and where it's located and maybe some pricing.
Oh, sure. Happy
can
to.
Can we talk about first where it is? I'll try not to get too excited. I'm so excited about where it is that I have a tendency to get a little overly enthusiastic. I'll try to hold it down. We are at the Century Plaza, the Hyatt Regency Century Plaza in actually Beverly Hills, isn't it, Jim?
Yes.
It's Beverly Hills, California. It's about 3 blocks from Rodeo Drive, so that'll give you an idea. And it's on the Avenue of the Stars, which we felt was quite appropriate for our group.
Nice.
It is a beautiful, very historic hotel. They call it the Western White House because all the presidents have stayed there since, what did we say, Johnson?
Johnson.
So a lot of history there. It's an elegant, large, just absolutely beautiful venue. We have set it up. One of the things in 2007 that a lot of people ask for, and we really listened to their suggestions from 2007, was they wanted to have breakout sessions. In 2007, all we had was general sessions. Everybody was in the same room for everything. But they wanted to be able to choose different subjects. They wanted to know if this class is geared more for beginners or for pros, intermediate. So what we've put together this year is a schedule just like that. It is a breakout situation where you go to one general session in the morning, and then there'll be several breakout sessions to choose from, which you sign up for in advance. And Jim can tell you a bit more about that. A couple of things that we're doing this year that we didn't have the opportunity to do last year. First is a big networking, red carpet networking program that we're having on Thursday evening. And this is not the beginning of the Voice 2008 is actually the next day on Friday. But this is a networking opportunity where everybody gets together to meet everybody else. And we are also inviting many, many of the top voiceover professionals in Los Angeles area to come and hobnob. So it'll be a really fun opportunity for everybody to get to know each other and a nice kickoff. We are also having on Sunday evening a banquet, which we were not able to have last year. This is in the Grand Ballroom, which is a fantastic ballroom. And we are very privileged to have two very special guests, and they are Dick Orkin and Christine Coyle from the famous Radio Ranch. Mm. And we'll be doing a tribute to them and an interview with them. And when we also have some professional entertainment, it will be really special. So those are two extra things, and then I'll let Jim tell you about some of the education that's going to be going on.
Oh yeah, and that brings up a good point. There are three focal points of the Voice Conference, and those are education, technology, and community. And the education is a critical aspect because, as you know, as we all know, in the voiceover world, things change. The approach that we need to take when we're dealing with our clients and our customers or prospects and our marketing, there's always a state of flux and things are always shifting in that. And even in the performance side of things, there are new trends. There's new attitudes that are being used. There are lots of little shifts that are taking place on a regular basis. So it's very important if we're going to really succeed in what we do, and be able to, we need to be able to adapt to those changes, and we need to be aware of them. So the education is a real important part of the Voice Conference. The technology side, boy, talk about change. There's something new in the technology, you know, on almost a daily basis. 5 years ago, USB microphones didn't exist. Today, they're everywhere.
Just as an example. Yeah.
Flash drives, the little portable pocket flash drives. 5 years ago, you're lucky if you could find one which was only 256 megabytes. Now you can get an 8 gigabyte flash drive for about $50.
I lift sigh by those things, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's amazing. And the way that these new technologies can be used, the communication systems, the way to connect from your home studio to a professional studio in LA or New York, there are so many new changes in the technology that we have that as a critical part of the conference so that we can keep people up to date. And one of the ways that we do that is, first off, we have presenters at our breakout sessions who are talking about technology, how to use this equipment, how to use the software, how to get the most out of it, how to get the best sound from the mic and equipment that you're using, how to deal with acoustics. All of these things are factors. But we also have an exhibit hall. And in the exhibit hall, we're bringing in vendors, dealers, microphone manufacturers, equipment dealers, and those sorts of things who deal with the technology. So we try to cover that in as much of a of a way as we possibly can. And then the third area is the community. And that's really what was the start of the whole conference mm-hmm. idea. And that is to help bring the voiceover talent together so they can share ideas and share mm-hmm. experiences. You know, well, this worked for me. This was a problem I had. How'd you guys deal with it? Mm-hmm. And they get to share and exchange ideas person to person, one on one, which solidifies us as a performing group of people. It gives us better credibility. Mm-hmm. It gives us a higher level of integrity. And ultimately, in the long term, it's going to raise the standards of both the performance of voice work and in the way that we run our businesses.
Right. And I think, too, as far as community is concerned, this is a way for the voiceover community to come together and learn from 24, in this particular case, mm-hmm. 24 of the top voiceover coaches and performers in the world. We have this year three coaches who are coming to us from outside the U.S. We have Deb Monroe, who's in Canada, in Vancouver. We have Stefan Chanel from Sweden. And we have Steve Hudson from the U.K. So, and they contacted us and said, we want to be part. So being that they were not even involved in Voice 2007, you've got to know that there's some good buzz out there for what we're doing.
No question.
Some very, mm-hmm. very good things. So, Jim, do you want to tell them a little bit more about the other presenters that we have?
Well, one of the best known names in the voiceover world is probably Susan Berkley. Susan is a brilliant marketer. Her name's everywhere. Just about anybody that's even slightly getting into voiceover knows about Susan. Well,
she was my first teleclass.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes. She's my very first instructor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so we've been talking to Susan for about the last three or four years about collaborating on something, doing something together. Mm-hmm. And we were never able to quite figure out just exactly what that could be. So when we started putting ideas together for Voice 2008, we said, okay, well, we need somebody to open the conference as a keynote address, mm-hmm. a general session. In fact, we have general sessions every morning, mm-hmm. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. It's a group. All the attendees are in the same room, same time,
ballroom.
In our grand ballroom. And we needed somebody to get things kicked off that's tuned in with the industry, that's on top of things, and that really has some recognition and some credibility. And the first person that came to our mind was Susan Berkley. So we called Susan and suggested the idea to her, and it took about 5 seconds of explaining what voice was all about, and she said, I'm there.
Mm-hmm. I'm totally there.
I'm totally there. So that was the first very encouraging sign that we had about our conference. And then we started looking at other ideas of who else we could invite. Stefan Chanel, who Penny mentioned, coming from Sweden, he's Sweden's busiest voice talent. And he has clients in 16 countries. So he's truly an international voice actor. Mm-hmm. And yet, 5 years ago, he could barely pay the rent. So what is it that changed?
Yeah.
It's an amazing story that he's going to be sharing at the conference as to how that all happened, how he got from hardly paying the rent, struggling, to being the most successful voice actor in Sweden and doing it in 5 years. So
wow.
that's going to be mm-hmm. a real interesting session. I want to be in on that one. But we've got mm-hmm. so many great people. Bob Bergen, the official Warner Brothers voice of Porky Pig and so many other Warner characters.
Ah, Pat Fraley.
Debbie Monroe, of course, is teaching mm-hmm. there. I met Debbie first at a workshop I did up in Vancouver several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been great friends ever since then, and it just worked out that she was able to be part of our conference this year, so I'm really looking forward to that. Julie Williams is another one of our major presenters.
Bev is great as well, Beverly Bremers. We have one name that you may not be familiar with, you might, is Raleigh Pinsky. Anybody know that name?
I don't think so.
I'm not familiar, but I'm a fan of the name Raleigh.
Well, Raleigh wrote the book 101 Ways to Promote Yourself, which is brilliant. If you just went to promoteyourself.com, this woman is just a magnificent promoter. So she was at Voice 2007 and said she'd really like to share some of those things with us. So even though Raleigh is not a voiceover performer, boy, does she have some great things. In fact, she's going to teach us an 8-second pitch to get the client. You can do it in 8 seconds.
Yeah,
so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, and the thing about this, a lot of voice actors don't really understand how to run their business.
They figure, or promote themselves.
Or promote themselves. I get the auditions coming in from Voices or Voice 123, and that's cool. And I do all those auditions. But to be perfectly honest, it's almost a 40 to 1 or 60 to 1 ratio. You know, you send in 60 auditions, and then you're going to get a gig, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
So,
yeah.
And you're not really promoting. You're just doing the auditions. But when you start to promote yourself and you understand what really is needed to when you're going to contact a prospect or put yourself out there and really start to market and promote yourself for what it is you do, when you start doing that, now that begins to move into the process of what's called branding, because you begin to create an identity that people recognize. And we have a couple of people talking about branding. Nancy Wolfson, one of the biggest names in branding for voice talent, is going to be one of our presenters.
Well, I don't want to leave anybody out, but if anybody would like to see the complete listing of everyone who is there, if you could just go to voice-international.com, the whole schedule is listed there, along with videos from last year, some testimonials. Videos about the hotel, which, if I haven't mentioned, I'm really excited about the hotel.
I looked at that video a couple of days ago, and I just started salivating.
Oh,
the pool, the hotel is just gorgeous.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
You know, and somebody asked me, this is a question that comes up, because they're saying, gee, you know, Los Angeles, Beverly Hills, it's really expensive. Number one, we got an amazing hotel rate. For Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
You can't match it in that area.
Yeah, in fact, you were asking about some of the prices. Mm-hmm. We'll get into the conference in a minute. But on the hotel alone, the average price for that hotel is almost $300 a night. And our room rate for a basic room is $169. That's lower than hotel rooms in most of the rest of L.A.
Oh, definitely.
Well, and when you're doing a big voiceover convention around the country, I mean, you're not going to have it at the La Quinta. I mean, it's going to...
Exactly.
Although we did get an email from one person says, well, you know, doesn't one of the unions have a little room that we could use?
Yeah.
And I, you know, no.
Well,
not for
you know,
like
and,
this.
And honestly, I've had people say to me many times, well, you know, couldn't it be a place that's less expensive? Or, you know, and I understand money is definitely an object. It is for all of us. You know, we have to be aware of what our budgets are and how we use our money as far as education and voiceover and this kind of thing. But people say, well, why such a nice hotel? It's three words. You deserve it.
Yeah.
You deserve it. One time a year, you come to a beautiful historic hotel in Los Angeles, California. You make it a vacation, perhaps. You go to Disneyland. You go to the beach. It's a destination. We could have had it in, you know, Timbuktu, Iowa. But what's the draw? We wanted it someplace where people could come and they can go home and for years they think, oh, remember when we went to L.A. for that voice conference? That was so cool. And we had the neatest room with heavenly beds. And, oh, man, how about that view from our balcony? How about that pool or that beautiful spa or that bar was really neat they have there?
I think you should have it in Branchville, New Jersey.
Yeah. Hey,
Trish, isn't that the town that you live in?
Branchville.
Hey, you guys, I hate to cut this short, but we're running way over, which is going to entitle us to have you guys back, if you don't mind, sometime in the future before Voice 2008. We'd definitely love to have you back, and more importantly yet, Trish and I would like to be on your list of speakers for 2009. Your thoughts?
Of course. That would be great.
Oh. Well, yeah, we'll definitely look at that.
We'll move you up to the top of our wish list.
Sure.
Wow,
that was easy.
Honor.
Well, I appreciate both of you for coming on. And Trish and I are trying to work out our schedule so that we can make it to Voice 2008. As I've boasted before on this show, probably too many times, I participate in a Johnny Cash tribute show in the Minneapolis area and have some conflicting dates in August, but I'm hoping to move those around, and we're definitely going to do our best to be a part of the program too. So once again, what is the website address where people can go to check out the information for Voice 2008?
The website is www.voice-international.com. Or you can also go to www.voiceacting.com, and there's a link on that page. And many of our presenters also have links over to the Voice International site from their own homepages. And I should also mention the early bird deadline for registration is May 15th.
Right.
So that's coming up pretty soon. So on May 16th, the tuition for the conference goes up by $100, and that's simply because that's the way it works. We have deadlines that we need to meet and financial commitments, and we can only offer the early bird discount to a certain point.
What a great event to spend your stimulus check on.
Exactly.
That's what we're thinking.
Exactly.
Jim, Penny, thank you so much for joining us. We'll definitely have you both back on soon. This was a lot of fun, and I just wish we had a little bit more time. But we definitely will have you back on, before August for sure. So I really appreciate you.
Really, a little luck, I'll have another announcement for you, because we have two things in the works I can't announce yet.
We could announce AFTRA, though.
Well, yeah. Well, we can announce that AFTRA has signed on as our premier sponsor, so that's really nice. And we'll be doing something with AFTRA, which is one of the things I can't talk about.
But it's going to be so cool.
But, if you want, for any of your listeners here that want to really keep up on things, if they go to the voiceinternational.com website, go over to the contact page at the bottom. They sign up for our subscription list.
Great. Well, thank you so much, you guys. We'll talk to you very, very soon. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Terry and Trish.
This is Rob Sigampaglia for VoiceOvers on Demand with an entertainment update. From toll worker to screenwriter, this week's inspirational story comes from The Hollywood Reporter. Last year, a Staten Island toll booth worker in desperate need of a car wrote a crime thriller spec titled Brooklyn's Finest. This year, he's rubbing shoulders with some of Hollywood's finest. Michael Martin was living in Brooklyn last year when he totaled his car in an accident. While he was in physical therapy, he wrote a screenplay, and he entered it into a screenwriting competition with the hope that the prize money would be enough to buy himself a new car. Well, that didn't quite work out because he came in second in the competition. But he has certainly hit the jackpot as the screenplay found its way into Warner Brothers' Thunder Road Productions. The rest, as they say, is history, as Thunder Road plans on shooting the film in May. And where else? Brooklyn, with the likes of Richard Gere and Don Cheadle as lead talent. This just goes to show you, you never know. So keep your chins up. This is Rob Sigampaglia for VoiceOvers on Demand.
Hi, it's Trish, and you've been listening to VoiceOvers on Demand with Terry and Trish. We appreciate you tuning in to our podcast. Join us every week as we discuss different topics of the voiceover industry. And for more information on both Terry and I's voiceover demos, resume, etc., check our websites. For me, Trish Bassani, it's voiceoversbytrish.com. For Terry Daniel, universalvoicetalent.com. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.